Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homo Casino Resort, the player's place.
All right, we are halfway home on a Tuesday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Appreciate you being here very much. Thanks to John Connor from Mad Friars for stopping by, filling us in on all of the goings-on in Padres Prospectville. Wanted to, I'm Woodsy, by the way. That's Paul Reindel, executive producer, and our pal Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Wanted to do a mini shout-out here. A few years ago, you guys might remember, I married a couple, the Castillos, and
you officiated their wedding.
Yeah, you say married. I married them.
Right.
Who married you? I did. And I just got a DM from Alvaro, and he said, the newest tier one, and it's a little baby. And he said, almost 3 years ago, you officiating our wedding, and now on 8/20, we welcomed our son, Anakin Castillo, to this world. Thank you for being a part of our journey. And I said, congrats, my man. Best day ever. That day your first child is born certainly is up there, right? And this is a good show to come and listen to parenting tips on, certainly, because I don't know that I make more mistakes at anything than parenting. I talked to my wife about it yesterday. I said, parenting to me right now is just a whole lot of trying to calculate reaction, and I usually get it wrong. Like, there's times where you're like, I have something to tell my child. I can't tell him now. I'm reading you. I'm going to pick a better time to tell you. And you tell them at the time you thought you should, and it blows up in your face. And you're like, I really don't know what I'm doing here.
We think trying to talk about baseball is hard. Oh. Trying to predict the reaction of a 7 or 5 year old, yeah. Very difficult.
Yeah, man. I mean, and it could be about something innocuous. Oh, by the way, we have to go to do this. And it will either be, oh, okay, or like the end of the world. And you just don't know. You just have no idea what you're doing. It's just constant. It's just constantly on edge about like making the right decisions.
And sometimes you think, oh, they're going to be overtired. They're going to be miserable. And they're just fine.
They're fine. They're absolutely fine. And so it happened to us last night where some friends of ours recommended this documentary on Disney. And it is called Lion. And there's a subtitle to it. And I can't remember. Lion documentary. It's on Disney. It's called Lion, Rise of a King, a Prince is Born. And it's about this lion cub named Keo. And it's a literal documentary of like what it takes to be the Lion King. We've all seen the movie, The Lion King. I've seen most of it.
I was gonna say, have you seen it?
I've seen most of it. Yeah, I've seen some
Simba,
parts of Simba. Right.
Scar.
So this is
the whole nine yards.
This is a real documentary on Disney about, like, they followed this pride and this cub until he allegedly, I haven't seen the end, becomes king of the jungle.
And they can get the cameras.
Oh, it's beautiful,
up
man.
Close,
oh,
to
Benny.
Document the lion cub,
Benny,
as it grows.
It is like the most beautifully, it's so beautifully put together, narrated. Here's
do you remember how long they tracked it for? Like how long this process was?
No, I don't. But basically it's the rise to be king,
sure.
Essentially. And I'm assuming he does get there.
I haven't seen it, but if I was Disney, I'd be sad that I didn't have James Earl Jones to be like my narrator for it.
Right.
Because that would be perfect.
It'd be great. Now, Jon Favreau is the executive producer. It's so beautifully shot. Here's a little taste of the very beginning.
But what does it take to be king here on the plains of East Africa?
So
pretty much James Earl Jones with an accent.
Yeah,
very nice.
Yeah,
very nicely done.
British James Earl Jones. So we get the family together. Our friends, the Burrises, said, "Oh, we've watched it with our kids. They loved it. It's great." My family loves cats. My kids like lions. What kids don't? So we get the kids in bed. And we put it on, and we're watching it.
So much better than the normal crap that you're watching with your kids. This is an actual, like, nature,
it's nature. Thank
document.
You
feel good about it, right?
Thank you for that.
It's not Beverly Hills Cop. It's not...
Thanks for the kick in the shin.
Like, normally, you're such a crap parent.
This is actually a good decision.
Finally,
such a crap
for the first time ever, you're watching something educational.
You've made a wise decision for something enriching for your children.
So
not just mindless comedy was.
We're watching this thing. Yeah, something about Mary... You know, whatever. Like, we're watching this documentary. Bo's on my chest. Taylor's on Hannah's chest. And we make it about 6 minutes. And it's like, Keo's life is about to change forever. His aunt goes to fight for food and is gravely injured.
Oh, no.
She may never come back. Keo's life, as he knows it, will be different. And all of a sudden, I start feeling the moving up and down on my chest. And I look over, and Bo is sobbing. And then Taylor is sobbing. Like uncontrollable sobs. It was simultaneously the sweetest thing I've ever seen. And also, like, oh my God, what are we putting our children through here? Beverly Hills Cop would have been a better choice. Like, it would have been a much, 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 much better choice.
You have tortured your children.
They are...
With this story of the Lion Cop.
Yes, I think that we ruined them. So when they got home from school yesterday, I was like, you guys want to try to finish that? They're like, no. And Taylor's like, I will. And I'm like,
oh my
bro,
gosh.
He was sobbing uncontrollably. And it's just one of those things where you're like, I can't win. I can't win. And it was like this, the aunts, all of the female sisters of
They're the hunters. Of the pack,
and,
right? The females.
Little Keo sits there and he watches his aunt go down and you know, buy a buffalo and gets like water buffalo, big horns and... You know, it's like she's dead. Mm-hmm. And he's like looking and he's nervous and the kids are just, they've lost it. I'm like, Die Hard. Die Hard would have been better.
Lion King, like the Disney movie Lion
it's
King
sad
is
as hell,
extremely
right?
traumatizing.
But why do we do this?
You know, it has an uplifting ending. So if you get through it, it's worth it. You don't know in a documentary how does it turn out? What if the lion cub ends up
that's the Disney
not
way.
Making it?
The Disney way was always, there's always like some sort of pretty awful like conflict. I mean, like Finding Nemo, you see all of their children fish get eaten up by another fish and then Nemo's the only one and you had to just go, oh, that sucked. Up
Nemo's.
Watch the first 5 minutes of Up. It's the beautiful story of two people that fall in love and then it just chronicles their whole life until she dies and then the movie starts and you go, what did I just watch?
Yeah they were in love and then one of them died and there's a 8-year old you know who loves nothing more than jungle cats and lions and he's watching this. And it was really sweet. And it's good to know you're like, oh, you're not sociopaths. You do have feelings that, but they were big feelings. And I really felt like I showed them Saw before bed. You know what I mean? Like I might as well have shown them Saw, Halloween, you know, something because they were scared to death. Like it was like such a terrible, you think, oh, we'll go to Disney and watch a nice lion documentary. It just didn't work. Didn't work. Struck
I'll
out.
Watch that.
Struck
looks,
out. It
looks
Paulie,
really good.
It looks phenomenal. It looks phenomenal.
The colors and the camera work, it looked phenomenal.
It is so good.
I saw in the chat that like 4 years they
four
followed
years,
these Keo, pride of
he's
lions.
So cute, dude. Oh, this little cub is so adorable.
I have a long list of places I'd like to travel to and experiences I'd like to get to at some point in my life. I don't know where exactly this is going to rank on the list, but I've always wanted to go on like a safari.
Have you? I certainly see it, but I feel like
I've had some friends do it, and it's either you love it or you hate it.
Outweigh the positives.
Yeah, you know,
the
like
great
getting
moment of like
getting mauled
to see
by a tiger would be.
I don't think it would be unsafe necessarily, but you always see the videos like of the moment. Oh my God, look at
the
that.
Lions! Yeah,
but then do you never see like the 3 hours where they're driving to get
right
to get there to
sitting,
find
rotting
the final lions? Yeah, no, they're usually out here. I don't know where they are today, but enjoy your 114 degree heat.
So I thought
air conditioning.
I had thought the same thing too, Paulie. And I know people that have gone, mm-hmm. and it was the same thing. Like, oh, it's majestic. I'm like, was the whole thing majestic, right. or was it?
I've seen the pictures and the video clips. They
that's majestic,
stunning.
Now, as you're watching this documentary, you do notice a proliferation. Is that the right word? Of flies. All over these lions, and everywhere they go, because they have the real close-up shot, there's just flies buzzing in and out. Then again, it's the same in Kauai when you sit down for a meal. You're like, come on, man, let me try.
I would be so bad as like a lion or a horse, because I would just constantly try to knock flies off of me the whole time.
You on a safari would be, and me, I'm not putting you in that bucket by yourself. I'll jump in the bucket with you. I don't think I could make it on a safari. The bumpy... You're driving out there, it's all bumpy, and you're driving for hours and hours looking for a lion and giraffes. I mean, it's cool to see.
I mean, yes, but I'm old now. I think
at 35, Paulie, I could have done it. At 50,
the juice wouldn't quite be worth the squeeze.
I get that.
That's like, straight, it's a lion. I saw one at the zoo.
We flew 19 hours to Kenya. We drove 6 hours.
I slept
into
in a tent last night.
You could be flying 19 hours to Bali.
You know what?
To an ocean resort, and you're
we have the
San
Diego Zoo's safari park.
We do.
And I can't usually bring myself to go up there to see the animals. I don't think I'm making it all the way to Kenya,
It looked very hot, and there were a lot of flies. But it was really well done, and I highly recommend it. Maybe don't watch it with your kids, unless they can handle it. And
Teach them important life lessons early.
They got so sensitive about it, and it was sweet, because it was like, oh, this is him and his mom, and you know, this is his life, and they're the little cub, and it's just really, it was really sweet. So I think, though, we've scarred them forever with this new Jon Favreau.
You should show them Bambi tonight.
Yeah, Bambi, and then Old Yeller to wash it down before bed. Hey, watch this. Yeah, I know they're tying them to the tree. Wait till you see what happens next. It's just torture and trauma, I think. Happy birthday to one of our beloved tier ones, Tessa, by the way. Tall Tessa.
Happy birthday, Tessa.
Oh, man.
We're losing listeners in our chat.
Why?
Because they wanted you to... give her a shout-out minutes ago.
Okay, well,
we're too late.
God forbid we tell a story.
Yeah. We didn't make it. We had to interrupt everything. Yeah. I followed Tessa on Instagram lately.
Mime Reese says, stop patronizing your children. What does that mean, though?
What?
What does that mean?
In this instance?
Don't shop at their stores anymore.
What does that mean, though? I want to understand.
That you're treating them as, well, children, not real people. Like they can handle
by showing them a doc.
I think he wants you to respect your kids enough to think that they can handle.
I literally watched them be unable to handle it. I watched them be unable to handle it. They were brr, brr, brr. He says they can handle crying. Should I tape their eyes open to watch this? They didn't want to watch it anymore. And I got it because it made them sad.
Bro, I'm 35. The Lion King still makes me cry if I watch it.
There is a point
where... I wonder
if
he has kids. I can't imagine a father would say that.
There's a point where you have to let them, you know, experience that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
But you may be a little before that point.
I think so.
If they're not ready for... total tragedy, then that's okay at this age. You can protect them from certain things.
Yes. I think there's a point of like...
Now, if they're like 18 and you're still like, I don't think you should go to that movie. It's just too sad for you. Then you're probably over-parenting and not letting them grow.
What's the divorce? I'll show them irreconcilable differences tonight. We can just, you know, study divorce. And then, yes, The Diary of Anne Frank. Yep, maybe that one. Angela's Ashes, Sophie's Choice. No, I mean, they're 8 and 5. Like, they were so upset. It was touching, but it was also like, oh, I think this is doing them more harm than good. Mime, I guess, makes his kids kill their own dinner. So, get in the backyard and give me a chicken. And the kid's like, Dad, I'm eight. He's like, I don't care. Gut it. Gut it and bring it in.
Do you remember, like... what the saddest movie moment you ever saw as a kid was?
Pete's Dragon, dude. Laid me out, man. Pete's Dragon absolutely murdered my soul when I was a little kid. When Elliot lost, you know, when the dragon, spoiler alert, the pizza dragon dies. And Elliot the kid is so, he's an orphan, you know, he'd been abused and bounced around. It was the, I'd never seen anything like it, Paulie, when I was a kid, and I think about it to this day. How about you, Ben? Did you ever get upset at things?
Yeah, we had to read, and then I believe we then watched the movie of Where the Red Fern Grows.
I read it too, and I don't remember what happened.
It's, I don't exactly remember the plot, but it was like hunting dogs, and I just remember it was just impossibly sad.
Do you guys remember The Fox and the Hound? Copper and Todd? Forget it, dude. Yeah. Those two, Pete's Dragon and...
That one got me.
And what was it called? I just said it. Fox and the Hound.
Fox and the Hound.
They're over.
Several cartoons. I mean, Lion King, again, when Mufasa dies. It's right. It's like when he's like, Dad, wake up. It's the most traumatizing thing. The one that sticks out in my mind was not a cartoon, though. It was a kids' movie. Came out in 97. You guys remember, did you ever watch Air Bud?
No.
The Golden Retriever
play
basketball.
A junior in college.
You have small kids? I don't know.
Is it, is it a realistic portrayal of a
basketball playing dog? There's a scene, though, where the... Spoiler alert. It's been 30 years. Sorry. There's a scene where the kid, he thinks he has to get rid of the dog, and he doesn't want to. So they live on this island, and he takes a boat to this other part of the island, and he tells the dog, he like throws a toy and the dog runs off because he knows he has to leave him. And then he gets back on the boat and takes off because he had to leave the dog there.
Right.
And he's just, the kid is weeping and saying goodbye to Buddy. And I remember seeing that as a 7-year-old saying goodbye to your dog. And I was inconsolable. I could not control it.
Mom says you need to be tougher.
And yeah,
I know. At 7. I'm just kidding. I love you, Mom.
All right, and I'm sorry that I haven't followed everybody, every tier one on Instagram yet.
Where the Red Fern Grows?
Yeah.
That's yours?
That was mine.
All right. Was it a movie?
It was both a book, and then we watched the movie.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember. I was looking at the movie starring Wilford Brimley.
What do you think I am, an effing night watchman? He's the greatest. I love Wilford Brimley so much. What do you think I am out here, effing night watchman?
All right, we're going to take a time out. When we come back, it is time to play Take on Woods. Still looking for our first VIP qualifier for Leonard Skinner. If you want to play movies, music, or TV, call now, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Take on Woods, and then Jesse Agler coming up next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, SDFatLoss.com is the way I lost 40 pounds in 60 days. Did this over 3 years ago. It was the summer of 2023. Lost up to a pound of fat per day, 10 to 20% of my body weight in just 60 days. And if you follow the same program, you should be able to get the same results, all while eating regular food from the grocery store. Make it in advance or just make it for dinner, like a chicken, some steak, vegetables. I was able to choose things that I liked. Made a huge difference for me in sticking with the program. And then a really big difference in keeping the weight off afterwards. I tried the other plans that were based on shakes and bars. And I did lose some weight, but I was miserable. And then I gained the weight back when I switched back to real food. I did not want to do that again. SDFatLoss.com is different. They will tell you how it works when you sign up for a free consultation. No GLP-1s necessary. No exercise necessary. Just follow the program. Lose weight fast. And when you sign up today, take $200 off for 97.3 The Fan listeners with their summer special still ongoing by going to SDFatLoss.com. That's SDFatLoss.com. Results may vary.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by GL Pools, the swimming pool experts trusted by thousands of San Diegans for 20 years. Baseball season is in full swing, so is swim season. Make sure your pool is ready. Call now, mention radio for 20% off new service plans in 2026. I was trying to do the math. Jesse Agler is going to join us here at the bottom of the hour. We're on the U letter for the incorporator.
Urine.
You're in trouble if that's going to be the word.
Jesse, so, work in urine tonight.
I believe if we continue progressing, the final week of the regular season will only get us to the letter Y. So we do need the Padres to make the playoffs.
Oh, to get
in a wild
Z.
card round to get Z
the
at the end of the year.
Of the season.
That could be it. But that is a few minutes away. Right now we get a contestant on the line. Let's play our second game of the week. It is time to take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take
on Woods brought to you by Bail Arms, security and fire alarms for every business. We got you, and we got Marcus standing by today. Hello, Marcus.
Hey, Ben. How you doing?
I'm good. You've played this game before, so we will skip all the rules and just give you the categories, which are also already out there in the universe. We've got music, put a ring on it, 5 2-second songs, or artists that include the word diamond. Movies, silly sequel names, not so great sequels that have kind of goofy names, and you're going to need to give me the full sequel name. And British imports is our TV category, 5 British TV series that were hits here in the United States. So, music, movies, or television, Marcus, what would you like to play against Woods?
I'll try the silly movie names.
Silly sequel names. All right, in today's movie category, we're looking for 5 not-so-great sequels with somewhat silly names. And again, we do need the whole name of the sequel to score the point. You can't just say something to. You've got to give me the actual sequel name. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many as you can. If you don't know one, say pass. We'll come back to it. There's time left on the clock. First question is our 2-second movie clip. You need to give me the entire sequel title from the movie to score the point. Marcus, are you ready to play?
Give it a go.
All right, let's put 60 seconds on the clock. Silly sequel names is your category. Your time begins when Paul plays our clip. Good luck, Marcus. Let's take on Woods.
Hello, Tribe fans. Welcome back to Major League Baseball. Sort of.
Major League 2.
Yep.
Come back to it.
All right. Producers only got Sandra Bullock, not Keanu Reeves. Back for which sequel that took place on the water instead of a bus?
Speed 2 Cruise Control.
Correct. Jennifer Love Hewitt heads to the Bahamas for which 1998 slasher sequel in which she once again is the target of a vengeful fisherman?
I know what you did last summer.
I still know what you did. Sacha Baron Cohen returned in 2020 for which mockumentary sequel about a fictional Kazakh journalist?
A pass.
Whoopi Goldberg returns to the convent to help her fellow nuns save their struggling school in which 1993 sequel?
Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit.
Correct. Back to our 2-second clip.
Hello, Tribe fans. Welcome back to Major League.
Oh, we ran out of time there. Major League 2, Back to the Minors. You got Speed 2 Cruise Control. I still know what you did last summer. Borat subsequent movie film was the fourth one. And then you got Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit. So 2 is your score. Very challenging category today. It is movies, and it is called Silly Sequel Names. I need the full answer for all these. Not going to be that simple. All right?
All right.
60 seconds
silly
on the clock.
Names.
Your time begins when Paul plays our 2-second movie clip. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Marcus.
Hello, Tribe fans. Welcome back to Major League Baseball. Sort of.
Major League 2. Return to the Minors?
Oh, so close. Oh. Back to the Minors. Back producers the only minors. Got Sandra Bullock and not Keanu Reeves. Back for which sequel that took place on the water instead of a bus?
Speed 2? The Fiery Taint.
Incorrect.
I have no
Jennifer
idea.
Love Hewitt heads to the Bahamas for which 1998 slasher sequel in which he is once again in the target of a vengeful fisherman.
I know what you did last summer. 3.
I still know what you did last summer.
I hate you.
Sacha Baron Cohen returned in 2020 for which mockumentary sequel about a fictional Kazakh journalist?
Borat. The Return.
Subsequent movie film. Whoopi Goldberg returns to the convent to help her fellow nuns save their struggling school in which 1993 sequel?
Sister Act. Holy Water.
Sister Act
no
2.
Idea.
Back in the Habit.
Sucks.
And you got shut out. 2-0 loss. Marcus, congratulations.
I knew them all.
You have qualified for our grand prize. It is the VIP tickets to Leonard Skinner. Tickets are available at cabfproductions.com.
What's up with the vanilla face?
Del Mar Arena on September 24th. You didn't get a single one of those.
I got them all right.
You knew the movies.
I got
you knew,
every
you knew
one of
none
them.
Of the actual sequel names. I thought you'd get Major League 2 Back to the Minors.
What did I say? Return,
Return to the Minors.
Yeah.
You were close.
Shiggity says,
couldn't do Speed 2 Cruise Control.
Didn't even know. I just knew Speed 2. Never saw it, did you? The boat one?
The speed one was awesome.
Fantastic.
Great
movie. I don't...
I was going to watch that with the kids tonight.
I'm not even sure I saw Major League 2 Back to the Minors. I couldn't bring myself to...
Caddyshack 2 is the worst of all time.
It's the worst.
There's never been a worse sequel ever than Caddyshack 2.
I don't think so.
Jackie Mason. Oh. It's so effing bad. It enrages me that they are like, let's put the same name of this brilliant film on this steaming turd.
I was so mad that they tried to replace Wesley Snipes with Omar Epps
in Major League 2.
It's like, I couldn't do it. It's like, if you can't get Wesley Snipes back, I'm not watching the movie.
We traded Willie Mays Hayes, right? Like, he's gone. He's gone on the team anymore. It happens in baseball all the time. But yeah, it was terrible. All right. Well done. What was the final score?
2-0.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Wait. I feel fairly confident.
What?
Technically what? I don't know that it matters, but technically, Major League 2 was just Major League 2. Oh,
back to the minors.
Major League 3 was back to the minors.
Was that back to the minors?
Where was the clip from?
I think it was from Major League 2. What was Major League 2? It was just Major League 2?
Yeah. Says,
and then Major League, : back to the minors.
I think
so. Major League 2 was when
Major League
Sheen, when Ricky Vaughn got all big time and was had that real smoke show girlfriend, and she was like marketing him, and he was naming all of his pitches. And it's actually not bad. Major League 3 was the
that
bad
was
one.
The
that's
bad
the
one.
Return.
All right. Sorry,
I don't think
Major
it mattered
League
3 on
back
the game.
To the minors. My bad. Still a sequel. It doesn't matter how many you go down the line.
That's true.
And it didn't change the outcome of the game.
I would have
all right, Marcus,
lost
Paulie will get your information, put you in the grand prize drawing for the VIP tickets for the Coastal Concert Series. Lynyrd Skynyrd, over 50 years after their debut album, Introduced to the World. We'll come back. Jesse Agler will join us for some Incorporator, some Padres talk, his thoughts on the new owners, and yesterday's news conference. All coming up next year, broadcasting live from our Bill House studios. We know how. Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Padres continuing their series against the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight at 6:40. I believe we will once again have Jesse Agler and Bob Scanlon on the call. So let's get right to our SDCCU fan hotline. It's not Big Bank Banking, it is Better, where we are joined by the Incorporator, the voice of the San Diego Padres here on 97.3 The Fan, Jesse Agler. Jesse, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Ah, a little tired. Long game last
long
night.
Long night last night, buddy.
You know, it's I knew we were going to play extra innings because I was up early with a sick kid, and so that's how that works. It's like, oh.
And it's okay if they emerge with a win, but when they lose after three extra innings, then you just feel like you did extra work.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why did we even do that? We could have just shut this thing down a couple of hours ago, and it would have been the same result. But, you know, it happens. I was certainly not the greatest game of baseball I've ever witnessed in my life, but, yeah, 1-162, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, and at least the other teams that we needed to lose lost, so it's just to cross an X through the schedule and go 1-0 today. Jesse, you have a sick child. I'm sorry. There is a documentary I highly recommend on Disney. It's called Lion, and it tracks a little cub on his way to become a Lion King. It's real, and it's a documentary. It's good. I made it 10 minutes before my kids both sobbed hysterically, like I'd tortured them with like a Saw movie or something. So I just wanted to give you that recommendation for your children. They may enjoy it. But for you, we were talking about like the saddest movies when we were kids, the one that wrecked us. Did a young Jesse Agler have a sad movie when he was a kid?
Oh man, I know I did, but now I'm having like, I think I blocked it all out.
Yes.
But I remember, yeah, like I think there was so much trauma. Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
that's what you're supposed to do,
right?
Yeah, you're just supposed to suppress it,
choke it down
to the point that you can no longer remember it, and then something occurs in adulthood where it jumps back at you.
Yes.
No, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I absolutely know there was one.
If you think of it, just shout it.
Did you ever
right
see
out.
My Girl with
oh,
Macaulay Culkin?
Oh my God, it was brutal, dude.
That one was
brutal. Like, oh, this is a cute story of a couple of friends growing up. No.
Yeah.
No, not at all. Well, that was a sad one last night, Jesse. You love to see the valiant come back, the valiant effort. Did you sense any, like, I don't know, like, panic is the wrong word. These guys have been playing baseball a long time. They know what they're doing. What were kind of your thoughts of the strategy and kind of where it went wrong last night when they weren't able to complete that comeback?
This is going to sound almost like very non-scientific and very not Jesse of me to say, but, like, sometimes there are nights when there's something in the air And it's like, this is just going to be ugly.
Yeah.
And like from very early on in that game, it was like there was just something off, you know, like both ways, both teams. Like it, there was, you know, Ashcraft, like he had been so efficient. He had been so sharp his last couple of times out. He was good. You know, Robbie Ray was Robbie Ray. Like, but nothing was easy last night for anybody, not for any of the pitchers, not for any of the hitters. It was like every at bat was 7 or 8 pitches long. No pitcher last night seemed like he could just put somebody away. No hitter looked like he could just get a base hit. That game was going to be 3 hours long at 2-2. So like right off the bat, it was like everything was just grindy and ugly, and nobody seemed to be able to execute anything last night. So like once you got into extra innings, it just sort of felt like, well, of course it was going to go kind of the way it did, because that's sort of how that entire game went. And so for whatever reason, there was just like a pall over that game last night. And I don't know, I throw it away. It was just one of those nights where, like I said, from the start, it was just like nobody seemed to be able to do what they wanted to do. If you go back and look at the pitch counts for everybody and you look at the at-bats, I don't know what it was. You know, I don't think it was a full moon, but like, you know, it was just one of those games that seems to happen where, you know, there's something in the air. Neither team, not the pitchers, not the hitters, you know, nobody really seemed to be able to do what they wanted to do at any point. And you just kind of hope it was a one night thing, not a one series thing. And you kind of move on from it. But yeah, it was weird in extra innings, because you really have seen the Padres execute at a very, very high level in those spots this year. And, you know, when the Pirates didn't score in the 10th, you were like, all right, it's over. You know what I mean? Like in my head, I was like, they don't miss these kinds of chances. But, you know, they did last night. It happens. It's only the third time they've lost in extras this year. But it was almost shocking, you know, to see them, you know, fail to come up in those situations, particularly at home.
Even when the bunt is executed properly in the bottom of the home half of the inning, when you only need one run, do you like that strategy? I know it's still always debated by baseball people.
Yeah.
Like, you need to get two things happening, or you just let three guys try to get a hit and end the game. What way do you like teams to go?
It depends who's up, obviously. You know, I think you go into that. I mean, look, with the way they've been swinging the bat, I'm certainly fine with just like, hey, let's take three whacks at it. Let's get a base hit. You know, you got the winning run at second base. But, you know, depending on who's up and all of that, you know, I don't know much about Dustin Harris. You know, I mean, he's only been in the organization for a few weeks. My understanding is he handles the bat really well. He's a pretty good bunter. You know, so that's kind of the idea, I'm sure, with him. So, you know, okay. And then, you know, the Jake one surprised me a little bit, but I get it. You know, look, the anti-bunting stance, you know, in the last 20, 25 years has always been one of, it ruins your opportunity for a big inning. And in those spots, you're not trying for a big inning. You don't need a big inning. You need one run. So, you know, it's fine. Like it doesn't offend me on some intellectual level if you're playing for one run when you need one run. But yeah, of course, there's certainly an argument for like, hey, you just need a base hit basically to win this game, so go ahead and get it. But look, it wasn't a matter of strategy last night. It was a matter of execution last night. And they had, you know, both teams really 1,001 chances to win that game. You know, they each had one hit with a runner in scoring position in a million opportunities. They both left a million guys on base. You know, that game could have been, you know, put away by both teams 100 different times, not just in extra innings, but in the 7th, the 8th, the 9th, you know, prior to that. So I don't know that it was like a strategical thing yesterday. Obviously, there's a conversation to be had there. But, you know, I mean, it just came down to neither team really being able to, at any point, it felt like, you know, being able to do what they needed to do.
Jesse, what were your thoughts on the news conference with Kwanza Jones and Jose E. Feliciano? Did they introduce themselves personally to any of the members of the broadcast team? Anything else you can add from what we all got to see yesterday?
Yeah, got some quick hellos afterwards. You know, I mean, what you saw in the press conference, like my sense is like, that's what you're going to get. Like, that's who they are. That was authentic and it was fun. And, you know, it's funny because I just noticed as you were asking me about it, I started to smile. And, you know, like that's what, you know, that's how you know something is good. And that's how you know something is cool. You know, I love energy. I love enthusiasm. You know, I was saying to somebody yesterday too, you know, generally over the course of a baseball season, like there is, particularly as we get to this time of year, right? There's an energy deficit, you know, around a team, around a game, around an organization. Like I feel it, you know, we all feel it. You know, it's late in the year, everybody's kind of dragging a little bit. You know, you're kind of trying to get over this dog days of summer thing and pop yourself into September. And then, you know, you get that burst of energy from something like yesterday and you're like, okay, yeah, like, all right, I like this, you know? And you know, it's neat. It's obviously different. You know, that kind of enthusiasm and energy coming from, you know, the so-called owner's suite. It's not, you know, something you usually hear or see. And I think it's cool. And they're young and they're dynamic and they're obviously brilliant. And they're enthusiastic about this team and this community. And I mean, what else could you want, you know, from an owner? Obviously spending, but I don't think there's any question that's going to happen. I can't imagine a world in which, you know, you put down the kind of investment that they are, and then you don't, you know, continue to invest after that. So I'm very excited. I didn't get to spend, you know, any kind of real time with them afterwards. Obviously, it was a whirlwind day for them, but did get to shake hands and say hi. And they just seem like incredibly kind, gracious, excited, enthusiastic people. And I'm very, very, very excited for this new era of Padre baseball.
Gonna need to get Kwanzaa Jones on a broadcast with you at some point. It probably will happen at some point, but I want to hear. I just want to hear more, right? Like, complete, like, I called her this morning, like a shooting star, like a meteor, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just,
oh, yeah.
I'd never heard anything like it, honestly. And I was kind of blown away by it all, Jesse. That's cool. Yeah, I think having her pop by the booth would be fantastic at some point.
It's definitely in the works.
Yeah, good.
Oh, my son had a question for you that I wanted to pass along. He was curious if you thought...
The one I met or a different one?
I think the one you met, yes. He was curious if you thought either of your partners, Tony Gwynn Jr. or Bob Scanlon, have different standards when it comes to hanging the star on defensive plays.
Good question.
Like, is someone more liberal with it, a little more stingy with it? You got any opinions on that?
Oh, man. So, I don't... I would almost rather take this question off the air. Okay, so...
Plead the fifth, dude.
So I think Tony's got very high standards.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this a lot. Tony, you know, he was an outfielder. He's got extremely high star standards. I think, you know, with Bob, you know, Bob only pops in every once in a while. And I think, you know, Bob, you know, he's sort of like he's locked in on doing the game. And I think, you know, like sometimes Dave sort of is used to Tony handling it on his own. I think Bob maybe, I don't want to say he forgets about the star, but like, you know, he's worried about calling the game because that's his primary responsibility. And I think maybe Dave doesn't think, hey, maybe I should ask Bob in his ear if he thinks that's a star play. So I think maybe that's what's going on at times if you don't see the star when Tony's not in there. Because I think Bob's standards are probably very similar to Tony's. You know, they were both high-level professional athletes. I think they recognize a star play. They know a star play. I think just sometimes maybe we could have a communication breakdown. You know, it's the
Dave
same
Marcus's
thing. Like,
fault is what you're saying. So it's Dave's fault.
I'm not saying that, but like, you know how when you have a different shortstop come in and then all of a sudden there's like a little bit of a miscommunication with the third baseman because 100%. Those guys don't usually play next to one another. I think there could be something like that going on as well.
Well, I brought it up because he was at the game on
Nobody's
Saturday
fault.
And Josh Bell hit that one off Mason Miller into the corner that Tatis went running all the way over. Didn't dive, didn't slide, but it was really tough play. And he said, I don't know, the star came out. I wonder if that was a generous star or not. So I just thought I'd ask and I brought it up.
I think that's a good star play.
I thought it was.
Yeah, I think that's a good star. That's a fine star.
Let's get to the incorporator. I did the math, Jesse, and it is imperative the Padres make the playoffs because otherwise we're going to end on the letter Y. So we need at least one playoff week. We're at the letter U for the incorporator, and Woods pulled a little change. I don't even know what it is. Paulie, you've got it, though?
Olegon. And listen, I hope it comes from Paul Skeens tonight, but it is a cry of sorrow. Olegon. You got to work that into the broadcast.
You missed
tonight.
It. Yes, with Robbie Ray on the mound.
Robbie Ray would have been perfect.
You can hear that just for miles, by the way.
That was the question of the day. They had a long discussion on the broadcast yesterday, and Bob said he was a grunter, too, when he was pitching.
Yeah. Like a good grunter.
Olegon.
All right, Jesse.
Olegon.
Go crush
Great word.
It. We know you will. And talk
right,
to you soon.
You.
How do you spell it, Woods?
Ullagone, just like it sounds. Right. Olegon.
That's a great word.
It's a great word, man.
Not bad.
Now, my kids.
We're going to add that one.
They were doing Olegons when we were watching that Lion documentary. Just Olegon after Olegon. Cries.
Man, the jungle is it's a harsh place, man.
It is, man. And it's really well
Circle
done.
Of life.
Circle of life. There you go. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Jesse. Take care.
You got it, guys.
Andy Dufresne in our chat. The sadness is the theme today. We're sad about the Padres losing. We're sad about the Lion movie. Ulligan is the incorporator talking about sad movies. Whatever.
Who would know more than Andy Dufresne about sadness?
That's true.
And then ultimately redemption.
It's crazy that he's in our chat.
He's in our chat. I thought he was in Zihuatanejo.
We need a
on boats with Red.
We need to crawl through 500 yards today and emerge victorious against the Pittsburgh Pirates. All right, we will come back. We've got 1 hour remaining. It is Ben and Woods, brought to you by David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. Ryan will report headlines coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.